It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, Spring Green was voted one of the top small towns in the U.S. to visit in 2014. Jim DeVita of the American Players Theater will share why he chose to settle down there.
First, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced today some devastating news for the state's bat population and for all of us who rely on these bats to be part of the ecosystem.
A case of white-nose syndrome has officially been confirmed in Wisconsin. The DNR says the disease has already been confirmed in 23 other states and estimates that it's killed nearly 5 million bats since 2006. That's causing some serious environmental and economic consequences.
Joining us now to talk more about this is Aaron Crane, who leads the DNR Natural Heritage Conservation Program. Aaron, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, can you fill us in? What is the latest news about white-nose syndrome found here in Wisconsin?
Well, part of our regular annual winter surveillance for the disease, we found it late in our surveillance season. We usually go through the entire state at the beginning of the winter season, and then a second time we do a follow-up at some of the sites to make sure that we haven't missed anything. And we found the positive in Grand County just last week. It was at a surveillance site that we found on March 28th.
Was this bad news that you knew was coming, or was it something that you've been expecting?
Well, we knew that it would get here eventually, and Wisconsin has been very proactive in trying to put as many measures in place as possible to slow the spread and keep it from our borders, basically. But we have, you know, it began in the eastern part of the United States and has moved slowly across the country. We knew it was coming, and we knew that there's only certain things that we can control, which is the human transmission of it. But the major transmission of the disease is bat to bat.
Well, we've been hearing about this, as you said, for a long time. It's been out on the East Coast, I know, initially. What exactly is white-nose syndrome, and what does it do to the bats?
So white-nose syndrome is actually a result of a fungus, and the fungus is not a native fungus to the United States. It came over from Europe, and consequently our bats weren't immune to the effects of it. But the fungus will cover the bats during their hibernation time, and the fungus is more active under humid and cool conditions. So when they're hibernating, that's what those conditions are like. And the fungus itself doesn't kill the bats. What happens is bats are designed to hibernate for a long period of time during the winter, and what the fungus does, it irritates the bats. The bats wake up continually grooming themselves, trying to get rid of the fungus. And in doing so, they use up all of their fat stores so that they can't make it through their hibernation season, or they leave prematurely from the hibernation site out into the winter where they'll die on the landscape.
Now, I understand the DNR is still waiting for test results from other sites. You mentioned the one positive in Grand County. Is there reason right now to believe that's already spread to other parts of Wisconsin?
Not at this point, actually. And the reason being is that we send our results into the Wildlife Health Lab, as do many states. And there's kind of a priority order in which they take a look at those samples. And so when our crew had found visual signs of white nose at this particular site, when they got into contact with the Wildlife Health Lab, they said, these are visual signs. We've seen visual signs as well. And that put that sample right up at the top of the list to get done. So we got the results back quickly. So the fact that we haven't gotten the other results back doesn't mean that we don't have it, but if it was something that was more likely to be a positive, we would have gotten those results back earlier.
How big a place for bats is Wisconsin? How many colonies are there?
Well, the ones that we know of, we have well over 100, and Wisconsin is a little different than some of the other states in that the majority of our hibernation sites are mines, not caves. We have much fewer caves than we do man-made mines, but the bats do use those. And actually, Wisconsin is the home to some of the largest winter hibernating sites in the upper Midwest. So we have historically, we've had a very comparatively large and healthy bat population.
So it sounds like Wisconsin is pretty huge as far as bat populations. How devastating do you expect white nose to be in Wisconsin now that it's gotten here?
Well, it takes a couple of years before you see the mortality rate. Usually in the first year, it's very low, and the second year is when you really see the major die-offs, and then the third year is kind of the end of it, and you see who the survivors are, basically. But the white nose is, you know, the mortality rate associated with white nose is 95%.
Mm.
So it's, you know, in the next several years, theoretically, we'll be losing 95% of our cave bats.
95% of the cave bats. And this is a syndrome, a disease that's been around for a while. Has science made any inroads in containing it or minimizing the damage?
There's a lot of research going on across the country, some that Wisconsin is involved in and many of the other states. And the research is looking at all different kinds of ways of trying to stop this spread. So, for example, there was research into human transmission of it. They found that, you know, the fungus can remain dormant on clothing and like caving gear and that sort of thing. And then when it gets in the right conditions, it can start up again. So that's why we had restrictions on decontamination measures that folks needed to use if they were going to be going into caves. And those were at the national level as well. There's research into vaccines. There's research into how to clean the bats so that they can shed the fungus and see if they can get it totally out of their system so that they don't reinfect. There's research going on about changing the environmental conditions of hibernating sites. As I was saying, that there's a relatively narrow set of environmental conditions that the fungus is active in, and so there's research into, you know, dropping the humidity or making it colder or any number of things so that the bats can still use the site, but the fungus doesn't thrive in it. So there's a really concerted effort across the country in trying to address it.
Any chance any of those things will come to fruition before, you know, we lose 95% of the bat population?
Boy, that's a tough call. You know, the research has been going on for quite some time, and there has been some progress, as I said, for example, leading to decontamination measures and things like that. But, you know, it's difficult with an animal that is very, very concentrated, so their population is concentrated, and they fly. So it's a little difficult to be able to, it's not like you can, some of these hibernacula in our state have, you know, over 60,000 bats in one site. It's not like you can go in and, you know, clean all the bats and try to rehab them and let them go. So the biology of the bats make a response kind of difficult as well.
Obviously, the main cause of concern here is mortality to the bats, but does this also mean that we're going to be overrun with mosquitoes in the next 3 years? Bats eat mosquitoes.
Yes, bats eat mosquitoes and a whole lot of other what we would consider pests. And so there's going to be, when you remove not just one species, but four, so we have four cave bat species in Wisconsin that are all susceptible to white nose. If you remove four of the species out of an ecosystem, it makes a big difference. And so I don't know how to quantify that impact, but there will be impacts in the number of pests that are surviving because the bats aren't eating them. I wish I could remember the comparison that we've used over the years. Bats eat a tremendous amount. A single bat can eat a tremendous amount compared to its body weight in a single night of feeding. And it's, I think I have this right, or very close to it. It would be the equivalent of a person eating 25 hamburgers a day. So it's a lot of, they're taking a lot of agricultural and forest and human pests out of the environment. And, you know, we're going to see the impact of that over the years.
Erin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We've been talking to Erin Crane. She leads the DNR Natural Heritage Conservation Program.
Coming up next, if you're looking for a place to visit this summer, Smithsonian Magazine says, hey, consider Spring Green, Wisconsin.